A lot of people don't realize this, but in the days of the stagecoaches and horses, people who were passengers could buy three kinds of tickets: first, second, third class. A first class were people that, well, the seats were the same for everyone, but if anything happened to the stagecoach, they would get out while something needed to be repaired, could sit in the grass or sit under a tree or whatever. They didn't have to do anything. It was done by others, like the second class passengers, who had to get out, but they didn't have to sit around. That wasn't the prerogative they had. They had to at least unload the luggage that would be on top. Then they could stand there and then go out and sit under a tree or take in the sun. Third class ticket holders on the stagecoach were people that were the most active, if you will, in that they had to get out like the others. But if they were in a ditch, they had to push passengers and all dressed in finery out of the ditch. If it was raining, they had to do that in the rain. And if there was a wheel or an axle broken, they had to help repair it. Then they could get back in. The whole point of the story really is that Catholics, Christians, are supposed to be third-class ticket holders, and that we not only have our own abstractionists and education and traditions and the deposit of faith from which we come, 4,000 years of the Jewish tradition built on 2,000 years of the Catholic tradition, we have a servant king, and we do what he does, we serve. That means do what we can by way, especially for our theme today, stewardship, as was talked about specifically in the second reading, Corinthians. Oh, we had Job. Thank God that's not the whole story of Job. Danny Downer there. Nothing's right. Oh, woe is me, etc. If you know the story, I hope this isn't a spoiler for those of you who are not familiar with Job, but everything, he has a happy ending, because he relies on the presence of the Father. He didn't know him as Father. It was Yahweh to him. Christ would tell us he's Father, but in the fullness of time, a scriptural term, as time passes, things would become, in the providence of God, smoothed out. God would intervene, is the whole message for all of us, into history and our own histories. What was required of us is daily faithfulness. The second reading from Corinthians, again, has to do with stewardship. And first of all, it talks about preaching the word, which is the venue of the priest and the deacon. You see, you have to be ordained a priest or a deacon after 4 or 5 years of serious theological and scriptural study. And then you are licensed, if you will, with holy orders to get up and proclaim the gospel. And the reason you have to have all that study, and it's part of a third-class ticket, is so that you don't get up and preach heresy of some kind. So you have to come out with the tradition. And that's my venue, and our deacons and the friars here. But you also, because you are baptized and anointed with holy oil at baptism to be a priest and a prophet and a king, you also have your stewardship using your third-class tickets. In that we come as servants to the local parish in this particular case, as well as the diocese and the world at large. But for the parish, we get our hands dirty, so to speak. We sacrifice. That word means to make holy. We give what we have. And of course, scripturally, that means tithing. Tithing means 10% of what you net. Of course, Catholics aren't real good at that, which is why every once in a while someone in my position has to get up and do something like this about household, if you will, housekeeping duties, which in this particular case, for those to whom this applies, because it doesn't apply to everyone, giving what you've received. Protestants are known to give a great deal. They do give tithing. Jews are the biggest givers to their synagogues and temples. Indeed, even to register at a Jewish synagogue, it's $10,000 on the line. Catholics, I never understand it. We have a seventh sacramental system in all the devotions that we have. Things outside of the seven sacraments, blessing of throats we're going to have at the end of Mass today. Feast of St. Blaise was yesterday. And of course, we have First Saturday about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. First Friday has to do with the revelations of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then we have Candlemas Day the other day, where we bless candles, remembering we are light in the midst of darkness, and we keep the darkness away when we have our Job positions. And then there's Groundhog Day. Well, no, we don't celebrate that as an ecclesial body, understand, but it's my hometown. I hope you're not jealous. I'm from there. We can all boast of groundhogs, I understand. But I have to thank Deacon Kevin for putting together something you're going to get in the mail tomorrow. We're working with a printing company, Our Lady, Sunday Visitor. They have a magazine, publishing house. You're going to be getting, just to make my point, all of us who were called to third-class tickets about what you can do. Now, here's my point in saying this. I was telling those in the sacristy how uncomfortable I am with this. Franciscans are mendicant orders. That means you beg. But it's something you have to develop. I'm not good at it, and I never feel comfortable doing it. You see, when I was growing up, it's just something that you did. Like you went to confession often, you wouldn't think of missing Mass. Of course, you fasted for meat on Friday. You'd pass a Catholic church, whether you were driving or walking, and you'd make the sign of the cross. You didn't care who was looking or what they'd say. You'd either go like this or you'd make this, remembering the presence of God. Of course, it was custom when you walked into a church. Catholics knew at the pew that you genuflected. You genuflected before you got in the pew, and you genuflected whenever you got out of the pew. And whenever you walked into a church, there was a holy water, and you'd dip your hand in there, and you'd make the sign of the cross, the sign of our salvation. It was a Catholic thing. It was a habit, something you did. How many of you, whenever we were once upon a time, walked into a theater, a movie theater, and genuflected before you got into the pew? I can't tell you the times that I saw people walking into a theater, and there was some kind of a scoop sand thing to put your cigarettes out, and the Catholic would dip in and make the sign of the cross. It was a Catholic thing. It was our tradition. And it was an outward sign of an inner reality of a disposition that we are servants. We are a servant body of Christ, the Catholic Church. I say this because something else has happened through our culture. I don't understand it. It's not my experience. I've tried to understand it. Times have changed. Traditions morph or are dropped. A number of years ago, when I was up at Arlington for 20 years at St. Maria Goretti Catholic Church, I did what we did. I taught high school in Philadelphia for 17 years, all boys. Those boys were sent out from the school and go to the pastor. Every September, we trained them. We had role-playing. Whenever you go, you're going to see the pastor. Go up and remind you who you are, even though he might have baptized you and knows the whole family, married everyone in it. But you say, "Hi, Father, just to remind you, I'm so-and-so. I go to such-and-such a school," and you shake your hand. And if there's anything that I or we can do from Bishop Egan High School, where I taught, please let us know. We're available for washing windows, cleaning up litter, shoveling snow, whatever you need, Father, we're going to do it. That's the mentality I came from. Third class tickets. I called a particular Catholic school years ago, and I said to the principal, "I need help with this, and I need help with that." And, "Well, it sounds like manual labor," the principal said to me. "Yeah, it is." "Well, Father, I have to tell you, my students are going to go out and write checks to pay people for that. They're not going to be a population that gets their hands dirty." I said to him with my Christmas morning look, "Oh, excuse me, I thought I was talking to a Catholic school." You see, we have these third-class tickets, is where I'm coming from, and I want to thank you for the vast majority of you who avail yourself of being involved, whether it's an organization or helping out in some of the practical things that we do, such as the things that I mentioned. It's just that I look over things and I see that we had this wonderful capital campaign, Second Spring. I know you might heard of it ad nauseam, but we gave 5 years to collect $13.5 million. We did it in two. 2 years, unheard of. 700 and some individuals gave that money for the adding on of our school, which was desperately in need. Not only that, taking care of the older facilities. We have 3,500 families in this parish. Little more than 700 gave. I understand that. I understand that you don't have children in the school, or maybe you paid your dues whenever your children were going through the school. It's kind of a specialized thing, as though I would see it as a one evangelical outreach among many that we do by way of servanthood for building up the body of Christ, the church, of educating the people in virtue and the core of the scriptures and all that we teach in the deposit of faith. I want to thank those who gave so generously and the sacrifices that were made. Really, this is an appeal for those among us who give nothing, and they are legion, nothing. Or if they do give, it's very, very little. I understand the cost of things. I do the shopping at Kroger for the Friars. Father Dan has had to go without his Raisin Bran. Father John wanted Girl Scout cookies the other day. I said, no, I'm sorry, we can't afford it, so to speak. I'm being facetious. We have to cut back. I'm sure you have to cut back. The price of everything's going up, especially food. And so, of course, we have to be careful. We are good stewards of what we have. It's just that, let me remind you, third-class ticket teaching, as far as the gospel goes and the servant king, is that we give first fruits. See, ideally in the scriptures, I give filling the pinch. That's been lost in our culture. Up until Vatican II, that was pretty much the case. And I can remember the kind of household that I grew up in. My dad died of Lou Gehrig's disease. He was bedfast for 13 years. There was no money coming in other than some charity and something from the government because he was a veteran. We almost lost our home. My mother went out and took in wash, not so she could buy food, not so she could pay the gas bill. She gave it specifically to tithe to the parish, and she was raised a Presbyterian. It's a Christian thing to do. So she collected that money on top of everything else that she had to do with taking care of him and all the worry that would go with the sickness, etc. It was just an example to us. And you know the example. You've done it yourself and most of your families, and I thank you for the sacrifices that you do make. But I'm just speaking to those asking, reminding you of what it talked about in the second reading about some of us are called to preach the gospel. All of us are called to respond to the gospel. And that's to build up the body of Christ, the church, and get our hands dirty as Christ did on the cross, let alone carrying it. And he extended his healing hands, for instance, in the gospel today, whenever he healed St. Peter's mother-in-law. You see, the Catholic Church, par excellence, built on the Jewish faith, is a healing dynamic, makes the world a better place. That's what we do in all of the seven sacraments. We come here for healing. That's what the scripture's supposed to do when we hear it publicly or pray it privately. It's inspired. The Holy Spirit jumps off of the page, so to speak. And it comes into the heart that already has the Holy Spirit. Remember Catholicism by way of definition. St. Charles de Foucault, Catholicism is mostly a religion of the heart. We evangelize. Evangelization means I study the faith, scripture and deposit of faith. I study it and I know it and I love it. Religion means to make connections. We connect with what I know and I love it, but it doesn't end there. When I was growing up, it was called Catholic action. In other words, the liturgy plus adoration plus the sacraments equaled acting out the healing grace and the gladness and joy that comes from the experience of serving Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, and soul. There is a zeal that we are called to, which in scripture means in the Greek, to bring to a boil. There's so much distracting us in this day and age, such nonsense and things that are hardly of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes more of the enemy, I think, we're exposed to by social media and things about servanthood and good news. A lot of meanness out there and a lot of greed and a lot of fill in the blank. We're all exposed to it. It can distract us. And so something like this is done maybe once a year. We haven't done it for a couple of years by way of householding here, housekeeping. In this leaflet, you're going to see that because of your generosity and your consistency, and I, on behalf of the friars and deacons and staff, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what we've been able to do. Without a capital campaign just for the parish, we've been able to take care of all the AC chiller units for the parish hall, take care of computer network update, sewer line repair. I am almost a specialist on sewer lines, brothers and sisters. They have broke down and they're older and we've had to replace them. HVAC unit in the parish office. By the way, the chiller, etc., well, you know the cost of things. $130,000? What's it for your home? Well, you can imagine a place this size. Computer network updating, $86,000. Sewer repair, $24,000. This is our home. This is the place where we nurture, nurtured by the gospel and the scriptures and the sacraments and each other and our organizations. It's a home place. This is our community. We are a third class ticket holders, if you will, and what we are supposed to be doing as a servant king in taking care of the parish. Someone gave money. I had asked for a certain amount of money because this popcorn has to come down. It weeps here. It weeps all week long, and we're constantly sweeping it in between masses. I'm allergic to it. It's choking up my throat, and I've developed sinus problems because of this. I'm allergic to it. $60,000 it's going to cost with the asbestos to take down. One couple came up and gave me a $60,000 check. Maybe I should have asked for $80,000, but that's beside the point. And then we have the popcorn up here, which doesn't weep because it's not at this angle, but it's got to be changed, especially with the asbestos. In the fullness of time, if you will, there's a scriptural term, you can apply it to anything, it's going to start to weep. It's got to come down. We don't have the money for that right now, so we got to come out of our collections. Those pews you're sitting then are very old, and they're pretend wood, whatever that is, I forget the term. We're constantly fixing them. They've got to be replaced. You know, this is stuff, for instance, I give an example up at St. Maria's. We had trouble with the sound system. It was like speaking at a big Gothic cathedral in Europe with this terrible echo. So whenever I preached, I had to go, I am here to inform you, because the I was, I it was terrible. I was asking people to come forward if we could do something. Soundboards all around, a new system. 3 years we put up that after. Finally, one day I said to them, I don't know of a Protestant community that would put up with this for 3 weeks, let alone 35 years that it's been going on. Guilt is a good thing, boys and girls. Because that money came in right away. Whenever I put it in comparison of servant king, we're supposed to be taking care of what God has given us. You know that for your homes, etc., and your businesses and whatever you have to do. I'm going to ask you, whenever you get this, read it through. It has been well prepared. There's a wonderful letter here from someone very special with a very nice picture. Even if I do myself, say so myself, I might autograph it at the end of masses. Oh, no, it's already there, so you might want to get it framed right away. But this is something you want to keep, making your commitment. So you're going to get something in the mail. I'm simply asking, particularly, those who don't give and those who give very little when you know that you could. Oh, I could go into the list of, you know, if you have a number of computers or you go out to dinner a lot or fast food a lot or entertainment a lot or whatever, what are you giving to the Lord? I mean, it comes down to that. But I promised myself I wouldn't say that, so forget that I said it, won't you? What I'm simply reminding you is obligation and zeal for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful parish. I can't tell you what a delight it is to serve here. The priests, and I know the deacons, will say that. As someone, especially I've lived in many, many places, many states, served in a lot of places, This has been an absolute delight, and I have to tell you that isn't always the case. There's a kindness about you and a friendliness and a welcoming that you have that isn't always extant in many places. It's different, everybody's different, but it's you're a wonderful community. I just want to assure you with that you have our esteem. There's one part of me that says, please give and to line up and list things that you should do. And there's another part of that says, it's okay if you don't want to give, it's all right, it's I understand kind of thing, and that I don't like asking. But I am mandated by the gospel to preach the good news, and that includes taking care of the household of this very good parish. We have a lot of physical projects that have to be done. Another listing of those is in here. But on behalf of the friars, especially, want to extend to you our gratitude for your faithfulness. You come to confessions in legion numbers. It's wonderful. We're in saint-making here. You want to get your kids to heaven. You want to go to heaven. Well, you do that with soul surgery. That's what we do with the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We're the third order regular of penance. Our charism is to hear confessions. And we're all counselors. I'm a professional one, as is Father John. And so we do counsel, too. The purpose of counsel is clarity and understanding. That's part of our ministry. That's part of our giving. It's part of our stewardship. So we do what we can do. And I simply ask you, for those that especially, whoever this might fit, please do a little bit more, or a lot more, if you like, that has been done in the past. And thank you for your forbearance in giving this message.